mercy. That's what I was going to say. Y'all pray for me tonight. Amen. Amen. We serve a good God. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. David said in Psalm 27, verse number 4, he said, "The one thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David wanted to be in the house of the Lord. He wanted to be praising the Lord. He wanted to give thanks to the Lord. He wanted to get to know the Lord for all he has done for him in his life. He said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Yes. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." And I just want to thank God for all he's done for me in my life. Yes. I want to thank God for all those who are visiting with us this evening. The elders will acknowledge the visitors at the end of the service. And we hope, trust, and pray that you hear a word from the Lord. Right. A word from the Lord that will touch your heart in such a way to make you want to know more about what God expects from us. And we hope, trust, and pray that you'll have a desire to want to live up to those expectations. And how do we know if it's a word from the Lord? Because we're going to say what the Bible says, right? Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability would God give it, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever." So when we say what the Bible says, we glorify God. Amen. I want to express my appreciation to all the elders here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ who labor in word and doctrine. It's an honor, it's a privilege just to have the opportunity to bring a word with the congregation. And it's an awesome responsibility to watch over the souls here at Fifth Ward. So I pray for you. I'm appreciative to the elders, and I pray that the Lord keep you and bless you. And I'm grateful to God for our beloved brother and faithful minister, Brother Gary Smith. It's an honor to be studying under Brother Gary Smith, to be a student. Not only is he a great teacher, a great preacher, but he cares for the members of the body of Christ. And he teaches us in a preacher's class, he said, preaching the gospel is just part of the ministry. But a great deal of the ministry is in the commitment to the members of the body of Christ. We have to be willing to share our lives with one another. So I appreciate him so much and pray that may the Lord bless you and keep you. And Brother Davis, amen. I need some mercy tonight. I said, I need some mercy. But the things about him, he's truly an example among the believers. Not only is he a passionate speaker, a powerful speaker, but he is an example, the way he carries himself, his conduct and his speech. And I'm reminded of that. I'm appreciative of that. And just to be able to share a word with him tonight, it's an honor. So to may the Lord bless you and keep you as well. Before I get into my charge tonight, the good news of the kingdom of God, I wanted to take a couple of minutes to talk about salvation. Because if we don't understand that we need to be saved first before we translate it in the kingdom of God, we're going to miss heaven. So we need to understand we need to be saved first. Salvation is deliverance from sin. Salvation is being born again. Salvation is obeying the gospel of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." So we have to obey the gospel of Christ. And why do we need God's salvation? Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we all have fallen short of his glory. And he says, "But he has shown his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So we can be justified through Christ and we can be saved by his blood, but we must be washed in the blood of Christ. Paul said that Ananias told him in Acts chapter 22, verse number 16, he said, "Now why tarries thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So we have to be washed in the blood of Jesus first. We have to understand this concept of salvation and then translation. That we save first and then we translate into the kingdom of God. God told Nicodemus, John chapter 3, verse number 3. He said, "Verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again when he's yet old? Can he enter his mother's womb yet a second time and be born?" He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." We can't afford to miss this concept of being saved, then added to the body of Christ. Salvation, then translation. Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 6, verse number 17, He said, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So we have to be made free from sin, and then we become the servants of righteousness. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 12. Giving thanks unto God, who has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness and through his blood and forgiveness of sin. So we must be saved first, and then we're translated into the kingdom of his Son. Is that all right? No salvation, no translation. All right. Amen. 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 So my charge tonight is to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. the good news of the kingdom of God is found in Romans chapter 14, verse number 17. Romans chapter 14, verse number 17. Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the message to the church tonight. There is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And all these gifts are offered in the kingdom of God. And they are worth whatever we have to give up in order to receive these gifts that are offered in the kingdom of God. They are worth the struggle. They are worth the fight. They're worth the race we have to run. They're worth whatever we have to endure to receive these gifts in the kingdom of God. And tonight we want to talk first. We're going to talk about the joy that's found in the kingdom of God. Then we're going to talk about the righteousness that's found in the kingdom of God. Then we're going to talk about the peace that's found in the kingdom of God. Is that all right? The joy, the righteousness, and then the peace that's found in the kingdom of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Say amen. Say amen if you did. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he has and buy the field. We see here now that Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was talking to a great multitude, but in verse number 36, we see he sent the multitudes away and his disciples came to him. And they said, declare unto us the parables of the tares of the field. We see that his disciples didn't understand everything and they still had questions, just like many of us. We don't understand everything and we still have questions. And Jesus explained to them the parables. Now, a parable is just a short story designed to illustrate a spiritual truth or a moral principle. What he does, he gives them a carnal situation, a worldly situation, a physical situation that they should understand in order to teach them or illustrate to them a spiritual truth that he wants them to understand. And the more I'm growing and more I'm maturing, I'm learning now how to deal with people on a carnal level, what they're dealing with in their life, what they're going through with their life, try to understand what they're dealing with in their life, and then offer them spiritual truth. Is that right? Jesus would do this. We know in John chapter 5, it was a certain man by the pool of Bethesda. And he had an affliction, something wrong with for 38 years, he said. And Jesus comes to him and says, and he deals with him on his carnal level. And he said, will thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to get better? Do you want to get well? He deals with him on his carnal level. And then he tells him to rise, take up thy bed and walk. And then he gives them some spiritual truth. He says, now, lest anything worse happen to you, go and sin no more. So now he deals with them on his carnal level, and then he offers them the spiritual truth. And the more I'm mature, the more I'm learning now how to listen to people. Instead of just come straight at them with scripture and bombard them with the spiritual truth, learning how to listen to them and what they're dealing with in their life, because it's real to them. Their situation is real to them, and then offer them some spiritual truth. So when I observed this text in verse 44, the subject that caught my attention was joy, because it said for the joy thereof. And the reason why joy caught my attention is because I was looking for joy. I was looking for joy, but I was looking for joy in all the wrong places. I was looking for joy in a bottle. I was a heavy drinker. I was looking for joy in fornication. I was promiscuous. I was looking for joy in gambling. I would gamble on every game, every situation. So I would gamble. This was my carnal situation. This was my carnal situation. And so when I saw that, joy stood out at me, and I was looking for joy, and this world couldn't fill it up. It couldn't fill that emptiness up. Every day I kept trying to chase and chase it, but it couldn't fill that emptiness up. So when I saw this, I said, okay, let me first try to look at, first we want to observe the carnal situation, and then we're going to try to understand the spiritual interpretation, and then we're going to see how it applies to our life. The carnal situation here, I found that it was a custom or tradition for the children of Israel to bury their treasure. They would bury their treasure in the earth, in the ground. They had been through so many wars, and soldiers from other nations would come in and steal and rob from them. And so they wouldn't be totally wiped out. They would bury their treasure in the ground. It was a custom that they had. I don't know if we remember the parables in Matthew chapter 25. Where the Lord gave to one man 5 talents, and he gave to one 2 talents, and he gave to one talent. And out of fear and out of laziness, said the Bible, said he buried the treasure in the ground. He buried the talent in the ground. What he was doing was what was custom to him. He was doing his tradition. He was doing what felt safe. And before we be condescending and looking down on the man with the one talent, a lot of us do what's custom to us. A lot of us do tradition. A lot of us do what is safe instead of doing what the Bible said, instead of doing what God said. But he was doing his tradition. So what happens now when they bury this treasure, the problem would be when the one who buried the treasure would die, suddenly die or be killed without telling the family where he buried the treasure. He wouldn't tell the wife, didn't tell any. That's what it says, say, Lord, have mercy, right? He died and he didn't tell us where he buried the treasure, the family valuables. So then another nation would come along and they would be forced off the land. And the other nation now would occupy this land, but they may not have lived on this land. Some of us have property. We live here in Houston, our house in Houston, but you may have property somewhere else, but it's still your land. And so here comes this man now. He comes and he starts digging on this land. And he finds this treasure. And let's say he finds something that's worth $20,000. And all he has to his name is $5,000. And so now what he does, he buries this treasure now. And he wants this field. Because if he found that in the field, there's no telling what else he might find in the field. So now he takes his $5,000 and he goes to the one now who owns this land. And he telling him now, he said, I want to buy this field. And all I have is $5,000 and I'm willing to give up everything I have for this field. And they not knowing what he found in the field. They can't see the reason for his joy. All right. And they think he's lost his mind because you're going to give up everything you have for the field. Y'all, come on. I ain't got but 15 minutes. Come on. So now you're going to give up everything you have for the field. And they saying, Vincent, they don't see the reason for my joy because they don't see what I found in the field. And so they say, you're going to give up this lifestyle. You're going to give up all we doing. My friends say, you're going to give up all what we got going on for this because they don't see the treasure that we found in the field. And your friends may not see the treasure you found in the field. Your family members may not see the treasure you found in the field. Your co-workers may not see it. Your neighbors may not see the reason for your joy, but I found a treasure in the field. And the treasure that I found in the field is the word of God. Amen. Jeremiah said it like this in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 16. Jeremiah said, thy words was found and I did eat them. And thy words was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. How many of us know that a word from the Lord at the right time can bring you joy, can fill you up? David said in Psalms 119, verse 105, he said, the word is like a lamp unto my feet. It's like a light unto my path. How many know that a word from the Lord in a dark time can be like a light in a dark time, right? When you just need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord to say, I love you. A word from the Lord to say, I know you. A word from the Lord to say, I got you. And nobody can say it how God can say it because nobody can do it how God can do it. He told Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. He said, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. Before thou came forth out of thy mother's womb, I sanctified and ordained thee a prophet. Can't nobody say it like that. The world can't say it like that. Huh, sisters, you never heard a line like that before, huh? I mean, right? He had me at before. You know what I'm saying? So when I was doing that, and right. And so the word from God, it fills us up. The word from the Lord fills us up. And listen, and I know Jesus is the word. And people say, well, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God. And verse 14, it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But let me say something. The word came with a word. The word came with a word. Amen. He came for a word from his father. John chapter 12, verse number 48. Jesus said, he that rejects me and receive not my words has one that judge him. For the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. For I have not spoken of myself, but my father which sent me, which gave me a commandment of what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandments is life everlasting. So the word came with a word. He just didn't come to die on the cross and shed blood. He came with a word from his father. And he said in John chapter 8, verse number 31. I hope y'all like Bible tonight, because I like the Bible. I hope y'all like the Bible. Y'all like Bible tonight? Okay, because amen. John chapter 8, verse number 31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Now listen to this. They believed on him. You believe in Jesus. You believe on Jesus. And listen what he said. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you believe in Jesus. You believe on Jesus. You have to continue in his word. We got to stay in his word. We got to stay in his word. And I found joy. I found joy in the word of God. I rejoice. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoils. My heart stand in awe of the word. Every word of God is pure, and he's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper, but the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, neither will the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, and the ways of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I found joy. I found joy in the word of God, and the joy fills me up. It fills me up. Now listen, we have to apply sacrifice. We have to sacrifice in this life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Once we are willing to sacrifice everything in this life, then we're going to understand the fullness of God's joy. But he's saying now in this verse, he's saying you got to be willing to let everything go in order to understand the fullness. So we got to add sacrifice. Point number two, there's righteousness in the kingdom of God. Let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who when he has found a pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. When I was looking at this, I wanted to look at the carnal situation first. Try to understand the carnal story and then the spiritual interpretation. This merchant man was a businessman. He would go around and he would buy and resell. And his thing, what he would buy was pearls. They said he would travel the coastal lines and go to these divers. These divers would risk their lives for these pearls. And so they would ruin their health and sometimes lose their life. And because the pearls were so hard to come by and they had a natural beauty, they were worth a lot of money. But he would go on these coastlines because he knew where to go sell these pearls. So they would die for him, and they would sell it to him at a certain price. But he knew where to take it to go get a better price. The wives of these kings and queens, these wives of these kings and emperors, they would want to wear these pearls. They would wear them in their hair, around their neck, their arms. And these when they had these pearls on, it meant something. It meant that they was more than they were now than they was before. And the other sisters, when they see this, they would want that pearl. He knew that they would pay a great price for that pearl. You, sisters, y'all help me out. You know when some sister get that new Gucci bag, right? And y'all want to know where she got that new Gucci bag. Y'all run into the outlet malls and y'all run into the Galleria trying to find, because you want to be the second one to have it first. You know, and they going, some of you flying to New York to find the Gucci bag. I know what's going on. But it's like they wanted that because it seemed like it made them feel more than what they were when they had this pearl of great price. And so I tried to understand the spiritual interpretation, and I was led to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, when Jesus said, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added." So we're supposed to be seeking God's righteousness. We want to see God's righteousness like a great pearl, and we want to wear God's righteousness. Not because I'm so righteous, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, it says he was made sin. God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So our righteousness comes from being in Christ. And I want to wear this righteousness that I found in the kingdom of God. Not only on Sunday, I want to wear it at work. I want to wear it around my family. We want to wear this righteousness that we found in the kingdom of God. He says it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so we can wear this righteousness, what we found in God. Paul said it like this, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, in whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as nothing, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he wants to be found in this righteousness. He wants to be found in God's righteousness. And not only that, we want to have the discipline, add discipline to our life so we can maintain this righteousness to the end. So this righteousness that we're in right now, that we in Christ, we want to add discipline to our life so we can maintain this righteousness to the end. Why do we want to maintain righteousness until the end? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, but unto all them also who love his appearance. So now we're going to maintain this righteousness to the end, because it's a crown of righteousness laid up for us that I can wear this righteousness in eternity with God. And it's, he said, it's also for those that love his appearing. If you get tired of looking for the day of Jesus, this is what we are. We love in his appearance. We can't get so comfortable in this life that we wish God don't ever come back. We can't get so comfortable that we no longer looking for his appearance. As Christians, we looking for the day of his appearance because we know it's a better life. No matter how big of a house you got, no matter how good a job or car, we not so comfortable in this life that we don't care. We looking for his appearance because we know there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness. So we got to add discipline to our life. Yes, and we have to maintain our righteousness, because sometimes people try to make you want to lose your righteousness. You got to have discipline, because people will test you. They'll try you, won't they? They'll try you and make you try to lose your right, and you trying to maintain. I was thought about when they said they make you want to pop the trunk down in Houston. Y'all remember that song? Trunks be popping down in Houston. But I don't want to do that. I'm trying to maintain my righteousness. You know what I'm saying? But it's a struggle. It's a battle we got to make, because people are trying to make you want to lose your righteousness. But it's a struggle. It's a struggle now that we want to maintain our righteousness. And not only with other people, but also with ourselves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should not be a castaway." So not only is the fight against false doctrine, and we do fight against false doctrine, not only is the fight against Satan, and we do put on the whole armor of God that we may stand against the wiles of the devil, but Paul is saying here, we got an inner fight. This is a fight that Brother Vincent, that every day's not a good day. I have good days, but I got to struggle and add discipline to my life so I can maintain this righteousness. And so we got to fight. This is what Paul is saying here. He got to discipline himself like a boxer and subdue himself for the fear lest he proclaim to others the gospel, he himself not be rejected. So Paul now is fighting with himself to keep himself under subjection. And so it's an everyday fight. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, "If any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's an everyday fight. You may have a good day or that day, but it's an everyday fight. Every day is a fight to maintain this righteousness, which we found in the field. Amen. Point number three, there's peace in the kingdom of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast in the sea and gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is a troubling scripture when you first look at it and you read it. But first, let's try to understand the carnal situation. This net was like a large dragnet that took a team of fishermen. When I did the study, I looked at it, they said that it would be two boats and they would go out on the sea. Now, some of the commentary, they do this by the shore, but most of it, they take a net and go, a deep net that spread about a half a quarter mile, and two boats, and they would go out on the sea and drop this net. It'd have a weight at the bottom, a float at the top, and they would roll back to shore. And as they're rolling back to the shore, this net would close up in a circle. And it would gather all kind of fish and everything in it. And they said it would take several hours. And they would drag this net up to the shore. And then it would take them time to go through all this, to take the good and to cast the bad away. So at first glance, when I looked at this, I see that the wicked will be severed from the just. But if we look a little deeper and you look at this, before the wicked will be severed, it's a coexistence with the wicked. It's for a short period of time, we're going to be coexisting with the wicked. And not just in the world, not just on the job, not just in the kingdom of God. It's going to be a coexistence with the wicked in the kingdom of God. And I know that the Bible teaches us that be not deceived, corrupt communicate, evil communication, corrupt good manners. So we want to watch who we hang around. But we're not going to be able to escape everybody. We're going to be around some wicked in the kingdom of God. And it's... But it's peace in the kingdom of God. It's peace in the kingdom of God. Listen to this. Listen to this. I wrote a short list. And we should be coexisting with the wicked, the busybodies, the one who's always in everybody else's business, the gossipers, the ones who spreading stuff before they find out if it's true. In the kingdom of God, the envious and jealous of you because of your gift, and the wicked of God, in the kingdom of God, coexisting with the wickedness, the bitterness, the high-mindedness, the selfishness, the proud, the false accusers, falsely accusing you things, saying, Vincent, something must be wrong with him because I don't see him with nobody. Nothing wrong with me. I know which restroom to go to. Nothing confused about me. There's nothing confused about me. We're gonna be around with the truth breakers, the traitors, the ones that smiling in your face and talking about you behind your back. We're gonna be coexisting with the wicked in the kingdom of God. But that's all right. That's all right. But there's peace. That's all right. There's peace. There's peace in the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 26. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom will the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and he shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. He said, peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's peace in the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit. We can walk, don't be troubled, don't be afraid. We can walk amongst the wicked, but still have peace in God. How many of us know peace is a blessing? Psalm chapter 29, verse number 11. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. We got to understand that peace is a blessing. I know we thought a new car was a blessing, a new house was a blessing until they start breaking down on you. But we need to understand that peace is a blessing. Amen. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3, he said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So I know now when I'm even in the midst of the kingdom of God, I have to keep my mind on God. I keep my mind on God, and that's going to help me walk in that perfect peace. I can't worry about what they're saying about me. I can't worry about the gossipers and this and that. You got to keep your mind on God, and it's going to help you walk in that perfect peace, even among the wicked. I don't have time to go through all this. We don't have time to go through all this. I wrote too many. No, 30 moments. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, I'm close. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. He said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so every time I'm going through something and I'm going to struggle, now we can look to Jesus. We can look to Jesus. What's the script? I got to add this one to this. It's Hebrews chapter 12. Y'all forgive me. Y'all bear with me. No. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also have compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for whom the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So every time I'm going through something, every time you're struggling or you're going through something or you hit a hard time or a storm in your life, look to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Put your mind, he's the Prince of Peace, and that gives me peace. It helps me bring peace even to walk in the muck. Amen. Amen. If you're here tonight and you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you understand that we must be saved first before we translate it into the kingdom of his dear son. The Bible says that though he was a son, let he yearn obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. So we must obey the gospel of Christ. We must obey the words of Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him to a wise man that built a house upon a rock. So it'd be wise for us to do what Jesus said do. Amen. But first he said we have to hear. So Romans chapter 10, verse number 17 says, so faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then we have to believe what we heard. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then we have to repent. We have to repent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some man count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then we have to confess. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then we have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. This gift of the Holy Spirit is going to allow us to bring this joy, this righteousness, and to walk in this peace. You can't leave here tonight without the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to tell you to tarry for the Holy Spirit. Y'all all right? We're not going to tell you to tarry for the Holy Spirit. Paul, Ananias told Paul in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, he said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You can be saved tonight. You obey the gospel and you can be saved tonight. Thank you. We can all stand in there for
hymn number 904.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Adore you for